A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Some in the crowd who heard these words of Jesus said, "This is truly the prophet." Others said, "This is the Christ." But others said, "The Christ will not come from Galilee, will he? Does not the scripture say that the Christ will be of David's family and come from Bethlehem, the village where David lived?" So a division occurred in the crowd because of him. Some of them even wanted to arrest him, but no one laid hands on him. So the guards went to the chief priests and Pharisees and asked them, "Why did you not bring him?" And the guards answered, "Never before has anyone spoken like this man." So the Pharisees answered them, "Have you also been deceived? Have any of the authorities of the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd, which does not know the law, is accursed." Nicodemus, one of their members who had come to him earlier, said to them, Does our law condemn a man before it first hears him, finds out what he's doing?" And they answered and said to him, "You are not from Galilee also, are you? Look and see that no prophet arises from Galilee." Then each went to his own house. The Gospel of the Lord. And Nicodemus said, "Does our law condemn a man before hearing him? Doesn't he have a right to trial? Should he be found, the charges be brought against him?" But they were prejudiced. They were not interested in that. If anyone in today's society is a bigotry against them, not receiving what everyone has a right to in America, you're innocent to proven guilty, is the unborn. The unborn children, they are deprived of the right, not of freedom, but of life itself, without a trial, without anybody finding them, bringing forth reasons for their guilt. And we begin to accept this to the point of now 55 million in our own country have been put to death, innocent, without even a trial. And so we today, as we're in the middle of Lent, we're going to be standing at Calvary. And we're going to be standing at Calvary with the same reason, the same mindset as did Mary and John standing with Jesus. And sometimes people think that the death of the unborn child is part of the culture of death. But I make that distinction for you, that the children are not part of the culture of death. They receive the effects of the culture of death. The part of the culture of death are those who are doing this to the children. And so we go this morning to stand outside this place where so many babies have died, not primarily to save the babies, oh, we do want that, but for the same reasons that Jesus went to Calvary. He went there to save the souls of the people doing this to the babies. He went there for the people who are going to put him to death. And so our mindset has to be the mindset of Christ, because Jesus continues his work through us today. And he wants the salvation of the abortionist. He wants the salvation of mom and dad bringing this child, because they don't know what they're doing. They're brainwashed by our society into thinking that this is the answer. They want to believe it's the answer. It brings back yesterday, solves all problems, abortion, abortion, abortion. It's only after that Christ is crucified that the centurion will say, "What have we done? This truly was the Son of God." And you know and I know how often the woman, she wants to believe this is okay, brings back yesterday, and then she does it. And the first reaction is, "Oh, thanks be to God, my womb is empty." And 10 minutes later in that recovery room, she says, "My God, my womb is empty." Like the centurion, "It was the Son of God, this was a child of God, what have I done?" And when she comes, she then feels that neither man nor God nor anyone could or should love her again. But we know God never stopped loving her. And so we must be present with that unconditional love of God as we pray outside these places. Because our main purpose of going is to overcome the culture of death. And the culture of death itself is the people caught in this. So we go there primarily to save souls, to convert hearts. We do that, we save the children. If the children die, they're innocent, they go to God, but the people doing this, they need a conversion of heart, they need their salvation. And so I remind you again, we go there with the mindset of Mary and John to follow the cross, with the mindset of Jesus when we're praying outside these places this morning. You know, in our own state, the governor, Governor Cuomo, is trying to change the law, make it even worse than it was yet. You see, if you remember, as I was involved in trying to stop the law in New York State being changed in 1970, they kept telling us, oh, back alley abortions, people doing abortions, they shouldn't be doing it. We need the law to save the woman, to protect the woman. And here it is, you know, 40-something years later. And the governor is trying to tell us he wants to enforce, well, first of all, that they can do, when the law was changed in New York State, it said that you could have an abortion in New York State up to the seventh month. But after that, it was penal. It was against the law. And so in 1973, Roe v. Wade, Doe v. Bolton, suddenly you could kill a baby through 9 months. And so the governor wants the time between the seventh, eighth, and ninth months to be removed from penal law to put under health laws. At the same time, which is incredible, he wants anybody to be able to perform an abortion. Anybody involved in any area of health. Now, what was that law we passed? Because it was supposed to be only a doctor skilled in this area should be treating the woman. He wants anybody. The reason why he wants anybody, it's more and more difficult to have anyone to perform an abortion. The doctors themselves, you see, they're in the schools of medicine now. They go in and in the textbook it says, if the woman is pregnant, you have two patients in front of you. And they teach them, first three classes, how to take care of the second patient. They take the child out of the womb. The famous picture of, you know, the child holding on to the finger of the doctor. That was the doctor taking the child out of the womb, operating on it, put it back inside. It's alive and healthy today. When does life begin? When he's the child outside the womb. And so they teach the young men and women studying medicine the marvelous things we can do now for the child in the womb itself. Take it out, operate things we could not, and the healing is incredible. And so how do you teach them for three classes how to heal, to care for the second patient, and in the fourth class teach them how to kill the second patient? They're not buying it. And so more and more doctors who are trained will not do an abortion. This is contradiction. You know, recently we had in Arkansas that they passed a law, they will not do an abortion in Arkansas now after the 12th week. They call it the heartbeat law. Namely, when you can hear the heartbeat, they're not going to do it. And immediately they say, well, it's going to be unconstitutional. The court will overrule that. Because in this country, you can kill the baby through 9 months. So you have to. You can't pass such a law. I say to you, wait a second. We had a law, by this decision by the Supreme Court, called Dred Scott decision. And it was to say that a black person is not equal to others. That the chattel. You cannot free them, which was absolute insanity. And we have fought a war, a civil war. And finally we passed the 14th, 15th, and 16th Amendments. So what is happening is, sure, the law in Arkansas, the heartbeat law, of only abortion performed now in Arkansas through 12, it will be challenged. But let it be challenged. Because we had to challenge the Dred Scott decision. This decision of allowing the children to be killed as though they're not human, allowed to be killed for 9 months. It's insane. It's insane to say a black person is not equal to a white person and should have all the rights as any other person. That's insane. Of course it does. And they try to protect it. They protected the black person. They passed the 14th, 15th, 16th Amendments. And the 14th Amendment was to give them freedom, freedom. And isn't it ironic now that the 14th Amendment, When Justice Blackmun passed Roe v. Wade in 73, he said, this decision will have, it's because people differ when human life begins, We're not going to impose one opinion over the other. And therefore, we're going to allow abortions. But if the time came, he said, in that decision, it was clear it is a human being. This decision had no juridical force. Well, by 1992, it was clear it is a human being. We're growing the children in the laboratories. So Governor Casey at that time, of Pennsylvania, said, we have to protect the unborn children. We can put restrictions. And the very decision, the court decision said, yes, yes, it is a human being. It is a child. And Governor Casey can do this. But we want to allow abortions anyway. We have to find a phrase in the Constitution that we can use. Freedom, freedom. And so they went to the 14th Amendment and said, the mother's right of freedom is superior to the unborn child's right to life. And therefore, no law, no state can outlaw abortions. Imagine this. The very amendment that was passed to protect the black person and give them freedom is now being used throughout this country to the tune of 18 million unborn black babies being killed. And in New York City, 60 out of every 100 black babies are aborted. In Brooklyn, 70 out of 100 black babies are aborted. And using the 14th Amendment that was passed to protect the black person and to overcome the Dred Scott decision, to remove it from the books. Well, you see how the inconsistency, the irony. So we're praying today not only for the mothers, we're praying for the conversion heart, we're praying for the change of the culture. We're praying that the people who, from Arkansas that are challenging the Dred Scott decision of our times, Roe v. Wade, saying the unborn are not equal, the unborn are not human, you can do what you want with them, they're chattel, that we would come to their support. We would say, no, of course it's unconstitutional, but that's because the Supreme Court decision is against the laws of God. They do not allow the child to have a hearing as they did with Jesus. They do not allow the child to have its day in court and to be spoken. But we, our presence, are forcing a day in court, which we will challenge, and we pray that the people in Arkansas will not back off. We pray that the insanity of here in New York State, trying to cement in through 9 months abortions in when Arkansas is saying after 12 weeks, Arkansas is basically saying from the beginning is human life. And here we are in New York State saying you can kill the child through the 9 months. And we're saying that anybody can do it. We have to respond. We have to react. We have to make this known. It's insanity. It's irrational. It is wrong. It is not pleasing to God. And our representatives have to change it, or they're going to have to deal with God, who's the children, who made the children in the womb. There's a final judge. The judge will be right and honest and true. And so we pray for the conversion of our representatives who are going flying in the face of reality. We pray that people come to awareness that just as the Dred Scott decision is insane, so is Roe v. Wade and Doe versus Bolton insane. And that there be a conversion of heart. And so it's those intentions that we continue this Mass, and then after Mass we'll go to the streets in prayer and try to witness the sacredness of life, the unborn life, and please God that our Lord once again give the children a hearing before they condemn it to death like they did to Jesus.